In the autumn of 1944, Major Porter had told me the strange tale of Rosaline Claude, whose first husband had been reported dead in the African bush. She had married again, a multimillionaire, Gordon Claude, a man old enough to be her father. He had been killed in an air raid, but she had survived to inherit his enormous fortune. But was her first husband, Robert Underhay, in fact dead?
John Moffat as Hercule Poirot in Agatha Christie's Taken at the Flood.
I heard nothing more of the matter until the late spring of 1946, when I reluctantly agreed to see a Mrs. Lionel Claude, who, so my manservant Georges informed me, had something of the greatest importance to say to me.
Monsieur Poirot, I have come to you under spirit guidance.
An untidy woman, in torn tweeds, festooned in Egyptian bead necklaces, of a rather dubious origin.
Both my Ouija board and my spirit writing pointed out the path to you. It was the night before last. Madame Elvari, you've heard of her, no doubt.
No, I regret, madame.
We were using the board together, and the same initials repeated themselves over and over again. H.P., 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 of course. I did not realize their true significance at first. And then I happened to buy a copy of Picture Post. That must surely have been spirit guidance, because I invariably get the New Statesman. Mm. And there, on page 14, two sevens, don't you see, was a picture of you and an account of how you had revealed that a famous archaeologist was in fact a German spy who was supposed to have perished in a train crash. Well, clearly, you were the person appointed by those behind the veil to elucidate the matter.
What matter, madame?
You may perhaps have read in the newspapers of the death of my poor brother-in-law, Gordon Claude, in an air raid nearly 2 years ago. A terrible blow to us all, and particularly to my husband, Lionel, who is his younger brother. Of course, he has no idea that I have come here. He is a doctor, you know, and doctors have a very materialistic outlook. The spiritual world is strangely hidden from them. They pin their faith in science. But what I always say is, what can science do?
And in what way, Mrs. Claude, do you believe I may be able to help you?
Do you believe in the reality of the spirit world, Monsieur Poirot?
Well, I am a good Catholic.
Blind. The church is blind. It sets itself against the beauty and the reality of the world that lies behind this one.
At 12 o'clock, madame, I have an important engagement.
Then I will come straight to the point at once. Would it be possible for you to find a missing person for me, Monsieur Poirot?
It might be possible, but the police could handle the matter a good deal more easily than I could. They have all the necessary machinery.
No, Monsieur Poirot, it is to you that the spirits have guided me. Now listen. A few weeks before his death, my brother-in-law Gordon married a young widow, a Mrs. Underhay. Her first husband had been reported dead in Africa, a mysterious country, Africa.
In what part?
Central,
of
that? The home of voodoo, of the zombie.
No, the zombie comes from the West Indies.
The home of black magic, of strange and secret practices. A country where a man could disappear overnight and never be heard of again.
Probably, madame, but the same is true of Piccadilly Circus.
Twice over the last few weeks, a communication has come through from a spirit who has given his name as Robert. Each time the message is the same. Not dead. We were puzzled, as we knew no Robert. We asked for further guidance, and we got this. R U, R U, R U. And then tell R. What does R U stand for, we asked. And the answer was most significant. Little Boy Blue, you see.
No, madam, I do not see.
The Little Boy Blue, the nursery rhyme. Under the haycock, fast asleep. Under hay, don't you see? And my sister-in-law's name is Rosaline. Tell R. Tell Rosaline that Robert Underhay is not dead.
And did you tell her?
Of course not. People are so skeptical. And I thought it might upset the poor child, wondering where he was and what he was doing.
Apart from projecting his voice through the ether to tell you he is still alive. Hmm? But why could he not write to her?
Oh, Monsieur Poirot, it is obvious that you are not an initiate. How can we know what the circumstances are? The wretched Underhay may be a prisoner somewhere in the dark heart of Africa. Think how happy it would make poor Rosaline to be restored to him. Oh, Monsieur Poirot, the voice of the spirit world cannot be doubted. They have sent me to you. Surely you will not refuse. It is such a noble mission.
Nobility, chère madame, will not pay for steamer and railway and air travel. Nor will it cover the cost of long telegrams and cables and the interrogation of witnesses.
But if Captain Underhay is found, I think I can safely say there would be no difficulty in reimbursing you.
So he is rich, then, this Underhay?
No, not exactly. But I can assure you, I can give you my word, that the money situation will not present difficulties.
However, I was not to be tempted. Nor did Mrs. Claude seem greatly surprised when I turned her down. But I could not help wondering what might be going on in Wormsley Vale, and all the time she was running through her spiritualist patter, I was trying to recall what Major Porter had said about Gordon Claude leaving everything to his wife. Could Cathy Claude's calling on me have something to do with the fact that the family all considered they had been cheated of their rightful inheritance?
Really, can you let me have £500?
£500? What's all this about?
Well, it's quite simple. I want £500.
I could do with it myself, for that matter.
But really, this is serious. Can't you help me?
Look, Lynn, I'm overdrawn as it is. What with the new tractor and...
Yes, but you could raise the money somehow if you wanted to.
What do you want it for? Are you in some sort of a hole?
It's Mum's. She's been borrowing money from Hunter and his sister. She's in a bit of a jam financially.
Yes, I expect she is. Damn hard lines on her, but money's pretty tight generally. I wish I could help, but I can't.
I just can't stand her borrowing money from David.
But it hasn't got anything to do with him. It's Rosalind who actually has to fork out the cash, and after all, why not?
What do you mean, why not?
Well, I don't see why Rosalind shouldn't come to the rescue once in a while. Old Gordon put us all in rather a spot before he could make a proper will, just leaving the lot to Rosalind. Yeah, if the position is put clearly to Rosalind, she must see herself that a bit of help all round is indicated.
Surely you haven't borrowed from her yourself?
No, of course not. I can't very well go and ask a woman for money.
Well, then can't you see that I don't like being beholden to David Hunter?
Why the devil not? What's so special about Hunter? He's in clover, living off our money.
No, really, it isn't like that.
What do you mean? Of course it's like that. The man's just a leech. And I don't care for the way you're always taking his side. Does he have some kind of attraction to you? Is that it? Because he was a commando and a war hero and I was stuck here mucking out the cows?
Oh, really, you're just being ridiculous.
Ridiculous? I don't see anything ridiculous about despising David Hunter. And I won't have him coming between us. Do you understand?
I can't take any more of this. I'll come back when you learn to control your temper.
But there was something else that the Major had said to me. About Rosaline Claude's first husband, the mysterious Mr. Underhay. Something about a poem by Tennyson and a man calling himself Enoch Arden, come back from the dead.
I say, excuse me.
Yes? What can I do for you?
Is this the way to Wormsley Vale?
Yes. You keep right along the footpath and across that next field. Then you get to the road and you turn left, and that'll take you directly down into the village.
And is there somewhere I can stay there for a night or two?
The Stag would be your best bet. I should think you'll get a room there all right.
Yeah. Can you tell me if there's a house called Farrow Bank near here?
Yes, it's up on the hill. You must have passed close by it if you came along the footpath from the station.
Oh, you mean that big white house with lions on the gateposts?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, it must cost a fair bit to keep up.
It certainly does, and no expense spared.
And does Mrs. Claude live there?
That's right. Mrs. Gordon Claude.
Very nice of her. Well, thank you for your help. I'll try my luck at the Stag.
Evening, Mr. Rowley. Pint of the usual.
If you please, Beatrice.
Been a lovely day, hasn't it?
Yes, and not before time. Tell me, Have you got a stranger staying here? Big man, slouch hat.
That's right. Came along at about 6 o'clock.
He passed by my place, asked the way. I wondered who he was.
I can tell you that, all right. He signed the register. A Mr. Enoch Arden from Cape Town.
What was in the post?
Not much. Bills, 2 more charitable appeals, which can go straight into the bin. Coffee morning at the vicarage. This one must have been dropped in by hand.
What's the matter? Who's it from?
Dear Mr. Hunter, I think it's best to approach you rather than your sister, Mrs. Claude, in case the contents of this letter might come as something of a shock to her.
A shock? What kind of shock?
Briefly, I have news of Captain Robert Underhay, which she may be glad to hear. I am staying at the Stag, and if you care to call there this evening, I should be pleased to go into the matter with you. Yours faithfully, Enoch Arden.
Well, I don't understand. What does he mean? News of Captain Robert Underhay?
It's all right, Rosaline. No need to get worked up. It's a hoax of some kind.
But does it mean that...
Don't you worry. Leave it to me. This is what you've got to do. Pack a bag at once and go up to London. Go to the flat and stay there until you hear from me. Understand?
Yes, of course I understand.
Just do as I say. Tell the porter at the flat you don't want to see anyone. He's not to let anyone up but me.
Why can't I stay here?
Oh, do have some sense. You're not much of a hand at tricky stuff like this. I've got to be free to deal with this fellow, whoever he is.
Do you think that it's...
I don't think anything at the moment. The first thing is to get you out of the way. Then I can find out where we stand.
Good evening, Mr. Hunter. What can I do for you?
Have you got a Mr. Arden staying here?
Let me see... Yes. Mr. Enoch Arden, room number 5. That's on the first floor, up the stairs. Don't go along the gallery, but turn to the left and down 3 steps. He should be there. Said he'd be in all evening.
Good of you to come, Mr. Under. Take a seat. What will you drink? Whiskey?
Yes, I'll have a spot of whiskey. Thanks.
Say, when?
When?
Cider?
Just a splash.
Cheerio.
Cheerio.
You were surprised to get my letter.
Frankly, I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, don't you?
I take it you knew my sister's first husband, Robert Underhay.
Yeah, I knew Robert very well, perhaps, as anyone could know him. You never met him, I take it?
No.
Perhaps that's just as well.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, my dear fellow, it makes everything much simpler, that's all.
Do you mind coming to the point?
Of course. Tell me, didn't you suspect, how shall I put it, that there was anything fishy about Underhay's death?
Can you be a bit more specific?
Well, Underhay was rather a peculiar chap in some ways. It may have been chivalry, it may possibly have been for quite a different reason. Let's just say that a particular point some years ago, there were certain advantages to Underhay being considered dead. All he had to do was to turn up about 1,000 miles away with a new name.
It seems the most fantastic proposition to me.
But what if it were true?
I should require very definite proof.
Well, I suppose Underhay himself could turn up in Walmsley Vale. How would that do for proof?
It would at least be conclusive.
But wouldn't it be a little embarrassing for Mrs. Gordon Claude? Oh, but then, of course, if Underhay were to present himself to her in person, she wouldn't be Mrs. Gordon Claude any longer, would she?
Rosaline remarried in perfectly good faith.
Of course she did, old fellow. And I'm sure any judge would say the same.
Judge?
Well, there is such a thing as bigamy, old boy.
Stop playing games. What are you driving at?
Now, don't get excited. We need to put our heads together and decide what's best to be done for your sister. If Underhay is alive, he doesn't know that his wife is married again. If he did know, he would have to come forward. He has a very strong sense of honour. He wouldn't like Rosaline inheriting money to which she wasn't entitled.
Look, is he alive or isn't he?
If he is, he's in a pretty bad way. He needs urgent medical attention, special treatment. All, unfortunately, rather expensive. And the poor devil's practically destitute.
I wonder if he's quite the chivalrous gentleman you make him out to be.
He was once, but life is inclined to make one cynical. The spectacle of too much wealth arouses one's baser instincts.
So that's what it's all about. You're nothing but a damned blackmailer.
I've a good mind to call your bluff.
You could do that, of course, but what if I go to the clouds? Tell them that Robert Underhay is still very much alive.
You wouldn't get anything out of them. They haven't a penny between them.
Ah, but there is such a thing as a working agreement. The first payment could be deferred until the day it's proved Underhay is alive and Mrs. Claude is still his wife, and the will null and void.
How much?
20,000.
Out of the question. My sister can't touch the capital. She only has a life interest.
10,000, then. She can raise that easily. There's jewellery, isn't there?
All right. You'll have to give me time.
You have 48 hours.
Make it Tuesday.
Very well. You'll bring the money here, in notes, at 9 o'clock. And don't try anything clever. I've met your kind before.
Mr.
Rowley, it's Beatrice. From the stack.
And what can I do for you, Beatrice?
It's something I found out last night. About that man you asked about, Mr. Enoch Arden. I've discovered something you ought to know. Can you come round to the stag this evening? I can't go into it over the phone.
Oh, of course I can.
In the hall, down the passage to the left, there's a door marked private. Wait for me in there.
All right, Beatrice. I'll be round just before 7.
I hope you don't think I'm poking my nose in, but we always thought what a dreadful shame it was. Your uncle dying like that, and all the money going to that person.
Mm.
And you and Miss Marchmont hoping to get married, and...
Well, it's very nice of you to say so, Beatrice.
Well, now, something's happened that may change all that. The very next evening after that Mr. Arden arrived, Mr. Hunter came here and asked for him.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes. Very out of temper he looked, as if something had happened to upset him.
Go on.
Well, a little after he went up, I had occasion to go into room 4 to see about the towels and bed linen. That's next door to number 5, and as it happens, there's a communicating door. Not that you'd know from room number 5 because of a big wardrobe that stands right across it. And quite by chance, the door was just a little open, though who opened it, I've no idea. And so I couldn't help overhearing what was going on. It was all to do with someone called Underhay.
Good evening. Is Jeremy... Is Mr. Claude in by any chance? I wonder if I might have a word with him.
Mr. and Mrs. Claude are still at dinner, sir. But I'm sure they wouldn't mind if you joined them.
Oh, no, I'll let them finish their dinner in peace. I'll wait in my uncle's study, if I may. I'll be quite happy in there, surrounded by the family portraits.
I wonder what Rowley wants.
Oh, probably fallen foul of some government regulation. No farmer can understand a quarter of the forms they're supposed to fill in. Rowley's a conscientious fellow. He gets worried.
He's a nice boy, but terribly slow. I have a feeling things aren't going awfully well between him and Lynn. You're not listening to me, are you?
I'm sorry, my dear, but the trouble is I can't really think about anything.
Try not to think. Put it out of your mind. Everything's going to be all right.
You frighten me sometimes, Francis. You're so terribly reckless. You don't realise...
I realise everything. And I'm not afraid. In fact, I'm rather enjoying myself.
That, my dear, is just what worries me.
You better go see what Rowley wants. Go and help him fill in his form 11,099, or whatever it is.
Oh. Sounds as if he's got tired of waiting.
Well, I don't see why. He hasn't been there 5 minutes, and he could perfectly well have joined us in here.
Mr. Rowley says he'll call back.
Thank you, Edna. So what was all that about, I wonder?
You know, Lynn, I really think we should try and hire a second gardener. Old Harold's finding it more and more difficult to keep up with things.
But where on earth is the money going to come from? Are you going to ask Rosaline to pay for it?
Well, she couldn't have been nicer last time.
There's nothing much you can do about it at the moment, Mums. She's gone back to London with her brother.
I wonder if he really is her brother.
What on earth do you mean by that?
There's been a certain amount of gossip, you know. That type of young woman, the adventurous type. They've usually got a young man in tow.
That's ridiculous.
Suppose she told Gordon she wanted her brother to live with them. This Hunter chap turns up. How is Gordon to know if it's her brother or not?
But David's not like that. And she isn't either. She's a fool, perhaps, but she's sweet. It's just people's foul minds.
There's no need to get worked up about it.
I'm going out. I need to get a breath of fresh air. Blow all this stupid gossip out of my head.
But it's getting dark. You don't want to go out on your own.
I've walked through the back streets of Alexandria by myself. Surely Walmsley Vale can't be worse than that.
Well, please put your coat on.
How easy it was in the war days, when everything was planned and orderly and all the decisions were taken by somebody else. Now I feel completely lost among people I hardly seem to recognize. Except Rowley. He's exactly as he was when I left him 4 years ago. But I've changed. I'm not the same Lynn.
David! Oh. Where on earth did you come from?
What on earth are you doing out here all by yourself?
I don't know, really. I've been walking about, thinking about things. And what are you doing here, anyway? I thought you were up in town.
Well, I had to get some things from Furrowbank. I'm on my way back to London.
Oh, you should have been home ages ago. What time is it? My watch has stopped.
9:10. I must run like a hare to catch the last train. Rosaline's alone in the flat. She always gets the jitters if she's left by herself.
I thought it was a service flat.
Oh, fear isn't logical. Not after you've been pulled out of the rubble of a bombed building.
I'm sorry. I'd forgotten.
Yeah, soon forgotten. What we were in the war. Back to safety, back to where we were when the whole bloody show started. Creep into our rotten little holes and play safe again. You too, Lynn. You're just the same as the rest of them.
I'm not. I'm not, David. I'm not like the others.
Aren't you, Lynn? Let's see. Are you really going to marry that country bumpkin?
I don't know.
You belong to me. But I must go. I must get my train.
David!
I'll ring you. I'll ring you just as soon as I get back to London.
Where on earth have you been? You've been out for hours.
Nowhere in particular. Just walking about.
Well, I wish you wouldn't. You know how worried I get. And I wanted to talk to you about the bridesmaids.
The bridesmaids?
I only hope they'll be able to produce their clothing coupons. It's very lucky for you, having your demob ones.
Yes, very lucky.
You're terribly restless tonight. There's nothing the matter, is there?
What should be the matter?
Don't need to jump down my throat, dear. Now, I really think you ought to ask the McCrae girl to be one of them. Her mother was my closest friend, remember?
I loathe Joe McCrae and always have.
I know, dear, but does that really matter? After all, I wouldn't like to upset Marjorie.
But it is my wedding.
Yes, I know that, dear.
If there is a wedding.
What on earth do you mean?
Oh, nothing, Mums.
You haven't quarrelled with Rowley, have you?
No, of course not. Don't fuss, everything's all right.
I've always felt that you'd be so safe with Rowley.
Safe? He wants to be safe. Was that the telephone?
No. You must be hearing things. Are you expecting a call?
No, not at all.
Now that is the telephone.
I'll get it. 432.
Lynn, is that you?
Yes, Aunt Kathy, it's me.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm afraid I'm in rather a muddle about the coffee morning. Is it Wednesday or Thursday?
It's Friday, Aunt Kathy. It always is.
Oh, of course it is. I knew you'd be able to tell me. I really can't imagine how I get things so muddled up. Oh, but as I always say, everything goes wrong at once. Our telephone is out of order, so I had to come out to the call box. But then I found I hadn't got the right change. But as luck would have it, there was a woman just coming out of the phone box, and she was able to give me pennies for my halfpennies. Oh, such a strange person, too. Daubed in makeup with a scarf tied round her head. The funny thing was that I'm almost sure I've seen her before. She must, I think, have been someone who'd passed over.
But in that case, how could she have given you the change?
Oh, you must never underestimate the power of the spirit world. It is wonderful the way people are sent to one in one's moment of need. But I mustn't keep you any longer. Friday, you said.
Yes, Aunt Kathy, Friday. Good night.
Who was that?
Oh, only Aunt Kathy. Just one of her usual muddles about the coffee morning.
Time I was off to bed. I'm going to make myself a cup of cocoa. Can I get you one?
No, thanks, Mums.
Good night, then. Don't stay up too late.
I won't. Good night. What on earth's the matter with me tonight? Why do I so desperately want David to ring? It's madness, sheer madness. Wormsley Bell 432.
Wormsley 432. Can Miss Lynn Marchmont take a personal call from London?
Lynn Marchmont speaking.
Please replace the receiver. You'll be called in a moment.
Oh, Wormsley Vale 432.
Lynn, is that you?
David.
I have to speak to you.
Yes?
Look, Lynn, I think I'd better clear out.
What do you mean?
Clear out of England altogether. What's the good of it all, you and I? It wouldn't work out. You're a wonderful girl, Lynn, but I'm a bit of a crook. Always have been. And it's no good flattering yourself that I go straight for your sake. I might mean to, but I know it wouldn't work. You'd be better off with Rowley. He'll never give you a day's anxiety as long as you live. I should give you hell. Yeah, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
You didn't say anything.
What is there to say?
Lynn.
Yes?
Oh, to hell with everything.
Mr. Arden? Mr. Arden? It's past 10 o'clock. You haven't taken in your tea. Mr. Arden? Are you all right? Mr. Arden? Oh, my God!
Wormsley Vale Police Station. Sergeant Edwards speaking.
This is Beatrice Lippincott from the Stag Hotel.
Good morning, Miss Lippincott. What can I do for you?
There's been an accident to one of our guests, a Mr. Enoch Arden. He's lying on the floor. I think he's been hit over the head. It looks as if he's dead.
In part two of Agatha Christie's Taken at the Flood, Hercule Poirot was played by John Moffat. Adela Marchmont, Virginia McKenna. Lynn Marchmont, Susanna Corbett. Francis Claude, Caroline Wilde. Jeremy Claude, Andrew Sachs. Kathy Claude, Elizabeth Proud. Rowley Claude, Ivan Meredith. Rosalind Claude, Fritha Goody. David Hunter, Tom George. Beatrice Lippincott, Becky Hindley. Enoch Arden, Don McCorkindale. Taken at the Flood is dramatized for radio by Michael Bakewell and directed by Enid Williams.